Will you please turn to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read from verse 8 through verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for everything, having promise of life, of the present one, and of that to come. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. For this we labor and suffer reproach, because we hope in a living God who is preserver of all men, especially of those that believe. And I would like you to underline verse 8. The word everything, profitable for everything. And the second word have a promise of life, the word life, which is eternal life. And the third to underline is of the present one, that is now. And please turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the first part. For me to live is Christ. Then will you please turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank thee again for the privilege of gathering together before thy table. We thank thee for inviting us. We thank thee for reminding us how thou dost love us and love us to the uttermost. O dear Lord, may thy love constrain us that we may really lay ourselves on the altar and allow thee to live in and through us, that the Father's will might be done. We commit this time into thy hand, knowing that unless thou dost open thy word to us, we will not be able to enter into the reality of what thy word is. So we just come, humble ourselves before thee, pray that thou will illumine us. Thou will change us, transform us, that thy will may be done in us as it is in heaven. And we give thee all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I hope you're not tired of hearing the word spiritual exercise. But the more I meditate on it, the more I feel the importance of it. Exercise unto godliness. If we want to be like God, that is the purpose of God for us. The only way is to exercise unto godliness. Because if we do not exercise, godliness will not be our portion. And it is said, exercise unto godliness is profitable for everything. Now this everything is everything. Everything in our lives is touched by such exercise. And in exercising our spirit, we have the promise of eternal life. In other words, how can we release eternal life in us, the life of Christ in us? It is through spiritual exercise. And it is safe for the present day, that is now. So you see the importance of spiritual exercise. To me, I feel it is the key to our spiritual life. If we do not have spiritual exercise, we do not have spiritual life. Because life, spiritual life, the life of Christ in us, is imprisoned within us. It needs to be released and to live. So that's the reason I feel that we need to consider how spiritual exercise affects our daily life. You know, our daily life is composed of four areas. We have our personal life to live. We have our family life to live. And we have our church life to live. And we have our social life to live. In these four areas, we live daily. And we want to see how spiritual exercise is the key to live in all these areas as Christians. Now this morning, we would like to focus on spiritual exercise affecting our personal life. Now we all know that after we are saved, you don't need anybody to tell you. After you are saved, you have the sense within you that now you are the children of God. You cannot live anymore, any longer, in the way that you lived before. Now you should live as God's children, as Christians. Even our Lord Jesus tells us. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47 and 48, the Lord Jesus expects us to be extraordinary. In other words, He has saved us. He has given us His life. And now He expects us to live extraordinary. That is different from what we were before and different from what the world is. He says you should be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And then if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you'll find that we are now a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession. For what purpose? to declare, to set forth the excellencies of Him who has delivered us out of darkness into light. So I think it goes without saying that after we have believed in the Lord Jesus, we are saved. We know inwardly that from now on, we live differently. We are expecting to be extraordinary, not just ordinary. We are expecting to be perfect, as God is perfect in love. And we are here with a purpose to set forth the excellencies of God, of Him who has delivered us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So I believe that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus knows right away, from now on, I am to be different. I will live differently. I cannot live as I were before. So now, what do we do? How can we live differently? How can we be those who set forth the excellencies of God? How? I think there are two different ways. One is the human way. The natural way, the wrong way. And that is to say, we try to live religiously. Formerly, we were irreligious. And now, we must be religious. So what do you mean by being religious? Well, on Sunday, you go to church. Daily, you are expecting to read your Bible. And also, you are supposed to pray every day. And there are certain things that you should not do. There are certain places that you should not go. And fortunately, we are being told all these things. And if we keep these things religiously, well, we think that now we live differently. Now we are extraordinary. While you are doing that, do you not feel that deep within your heart there is something more? Do you feel that you try to be righteous? You try to do the will of God, but you find you do not have the strength to do it. So you find the experience of the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 7, I will to do the will of God, but I cannot. I do not want to do the things that are sinful, but I do it. Why? I think it is very clear. It shows that when we are trying to live a religious life, by what life do we live? Even though we have the life of Christ in us, but we do not live by that life. We are still using our natural life to live a religious living. Even in this matter of doing the will of God, we are trying our best to do it. But we will find that we are not able to do it. And sometimes we are puzzled by it. And our conscience bothers us. And if we keep on doing that, maybe to some people, gradually their conscience become dull. So they feel very happy. As long as I can live as a religious person. Now that's all Christianity is. Now if that is the case, what is the difference between Christianity and all other religions? And we even find people with other religions, they are more ethical than we are. And we become a stumbling block to these people. So what is living differently? What is living extraordinary? How can we set forth the excellencies of God? The only way, God's way for us, is very simple. And that is, He does not expect us to live differently. If your life is the old life, how can you expect life to live heavenly? It is earthly. It is natural. It is fleshly. The Lord does not expect any one of us to live as He wants us to live by ourselves. He knows it's impossible. But we all try. Even the Apostle Paul tried. And he tried very hard. He failed and failed and failed. Until finally, he gave up. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" Now, have you come to this point yet? If you haven't come to this point, it shows that you are trying to live a Christian life by your self-life. That's it. Whether it is the good self or the bad self, it doesn't matter. It is self. And the Lord said, there is no good in the flesh. We know it, but it seems as if we do not realize it in our life. Not until we realize it. We come to the point saying that it is impossible to live a Christian life, a personal Christian life, by our old self life. Impossible. And it is only at that point that you find the Apostle Paul said, "Thank God through Jesus Christ." That is to say, his eyes were open to see that there is only one way that we can live as Christians. It is not by ourselves, but by Christ. Now, I want to challenge everyone, including myself. Are you living a Christian life today? By the effort of your own self. Are you cheating yourself? Or have you come to the point to see what God has already seen, that it is impossible with your own self? But God has a way. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was Saul of Tarsus, you can finally a young man that is so religious, so moral, so zealous, so concentrated, so gave himself to God. While other young people are looking for things of this world, he was seeking for things above. He became a Pharisee. Now today we have very bad connotation about a Pharisee. But actually a Pharisee was the strictest sect among Judaism. There were not many Pharisees at any time, because these Pharisees, they gave themselves to the study of the scripture. They tried to keep every letter of the word. They were the interpreter at that time of the scripture. And of course, when people are doing that, most people are hypocritical. But this young man was a true Pharisee. He did everything he could to follow the directions, the instructions of the law and the commandments. And outwardly, he seemed to be able to do all these things. But inwardly, it was a different story. And he was so zealous for the tradition of the fathers that he considered Jesus as an impostor of Judaism and should be wiped out. So he was very zealous in persecuting the followers of Jesus. And he did things that an ethical, moral gentleman will never do. But somehow his conscience bothered him, but he tried to bribe his conscience, to suppress his conscience by double his effort in persecuting the Christians. He was kicking against the goats. He was trying to live a life that God requires, but by his own self. I wonder if it is true with us Christians today. Probably most of the Christians today live like Saul of Tarsus in his old days. We try to be a Christian, live differently, outwardly, keeping a few laws and commandments, knowing inwardly we have not succeeded, but we bribe ourselves into sleep. God's verdict to our old self-life is death. God has no idea of improving our old self-life. Make it more ethical, more religious. All these things are just outward. Nothing real. They will be cast into fire. God's verdict to our self-life is death. And this is what Paul learned. So you'll find that after he received that heavenly vision on the road to Damascus, his life began to change. And you'll find he testified, even in his later lives. He wrote a letter from prison, from Roman prison, to the Philippians believers. And there he revealed the secret of his Christian life. Very simple. He learned a lesson. He said, for me to live is Christ. Outwardly, he is the same person, same feature. But inwardly, the source is different. He did not live his life again. He does not live his life again by his old soul life. Now he lives his life by the life of Christ. So he said, for me to live is Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, you who believe in the Lord Jesus, you have Christ in you. Do you? The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery of the gospel. We all have Christ in us. He dwells in our new spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to see to it that this Christ life is being exercised, used, grow, and matured. God has already had every provision for us for our daily life. But dear brothers and sisters, by which life are you living today? How can this Saul, the Pharisee, become Paul the Apostle? How can this Saul life replaced by Christ's life, in his daily living? Well, in Galatians 2:20 he says, I am crucified with Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel for believers. The gospel for unbelievers is, you do not need to die, because Christ has died for you. That is the gospel to the world. But there is another side, the gospel to the believers. You do not need to live because Christ lived for you. I wonder, if you really have a heart for the Lord, probably you have lived your Christian life and you become weary about it. It becomes a big burden. Now, that is a good Christian. If you are not a good Christian, you don't care. So long as you live religiously, it's okay. You're cheating yourself. But if you are real, then I believe you are not satisfied within you. You have tried your best, but you fail again and again. The fighting is fierce. Even when you have a small victory sometimes, but you have a big defeat. Now that's our experience. But thank God, when our Lord Jesus went to the cross, he not only bore our sins in his body, but he took us in him. So when he died, the old man died with him. This is God's doing. God does not deal with each and every one of us individually. God deals with the head of the race. So when Christ died, the Adamic race was terminated. And what Christ has done on the cross is something that we have to believe. Just like we believe that when Christ died on the cross, he took our sins away. Now, how do you know? He was crucified 2,000 years ago. You were not born yet. You have not committed any sin yet. And yet you believe that Christ has borne your sins in his body. And when you believe in it, your sins are forgiven. Because what Christ has done on the cross is eternal. Its effect is as effective today as it was 2,000 years ago. Now the same thing is true, simple. If Christ has taken the old man with him to the cross, then your old man was dead. It was because we do not believe it. Therefore, it didn't work. Just like before we were saved, we did not believe that our sins were already borne by Christ on the cross. So we try every way to wipe out our sins. Try to accumulate merits to balance the sins that we have committed. Foolish. But we all did that. And the same thing is true with us Christians. We need to believe that we were crucified with Christ on the cross. Now, if you are crucified with Christ on the cross, then it is no longer I. The I is crossed out. It is Christ who lives in me. And now I live in the flesh. That is, I still live in this body. Outwardly, it is still I. But inwardly, it is not I. It is Christ. And it is a living by faith. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we say, well, this person lives by faith because he doesn't have any job and he depends on his daily living by God. He's living by faith. Now, that's not true because every one of us lives by faith. We believe that we were crucified with Christ. No longer live I. It is Christ who lives in us. So we live by faith. And this faith, to say strictly, is not your faith, my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, the Lord is faithful. Whatever he has done, he will see to it that it works. So it is by the faith, by our faith in the Lord Jesus, that we know that today we live, not I, but Christ. It is a matter of faith. And it is a matter of the faith of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you don't believe it, then you do not have faith. Just like if an unbeliever do not believe that our Lord Jesus has taken his sins away, then his sin is still with him. And the same thing is true with us Christians. If you do not believe that, believe what the Lord has done for you, then you are still living, not Christ. And you are trying to live a Christ life, which is impossible. So, brothers and sisters, here's the gospel, the glad news. Let us believe that it is no longer I, it is Christ who lives in us. Let Christ be released from you. And then you'll find in your daily life, you will live and please God. So again, I want to say, by whose life are you living today? The important thing is how to release the Christ life in you. How do you release it? Because the Christ life in you is surrounded, imprisoned as it were, by your soul life. So how can it be released? The only way is through spiritual exercise. Our spirit needs to be exercised. That is to say, the Holy Spirit who dwells in our spirit, this is his job. This is why the Holy Spirit dwells in you. His job is to see to it that the life of Christ in you is to be released and to be strengthened and to replace your soul life. Now that is the work of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit is working within you, he wants your response. He wants your cooperation. In other words, when the Holy Spirit works upon your conscience, he expects you to respond positively. That is to say, even your human reasoning may be against it. You say, what's wrong with it? Everybody is doing it. But the Holy Spirit says, no. And what do you do? You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, your self-life is put to death and the Christ life is released. Sometimes the Lord gives you some light. You know, as you find in 1 John, God is light. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our sins. When we are walking on this earth, in our daily life, sometimes you find there is a light within you. It is the anointing, the Holy Spirit in you. He is trying to teach you. Not only in big things, but also in small things. In your daily life, he will teach you. Everybody thinks that is okay. But the Holy Spirit says, no. That's what the world standard is. God's standard is different. and He has given you light, walk in the light. As God is in the light, and you have fellowship with one another. And sometimes you will find God will touch you when you are in commune with God. The more you draw near to God, the more you will be like Him. So, brothers and sisters, are you exercising your spirit? The Holy Spirit never fails. The Bible said He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is in you. We may grieve Him. We may not listen to Him, neglect Him, resist Him, but He never leaves us. He's very insistent. He wants to see that Christ is being released. And the only way is through the cross. That is, your self-life has to die. It is a daily thing. So, dear brothers and sisters, we want to go to the very basic and just ask ourselves one simple question. Who is living in me today? I or Christ? Now, how are you going to do it? I would like to offer a few simple suggestions. You know, in the Bible, we have many places where we are told how important for Christians in our daily life. To see how you spend the starting of your day. No, we all start in the morning, right? Now, how do you start your morning? Because actually your morning will decide your day. There is a Chinese proverb. The beginning of the year is spring. The beginning of the day is the morning. How do you start this morning? Do you start this morning with God? Or do you start this morning with yourself? That will make a great difference. You know, if you read Psalms, I mean, there are many places, but I would like to just mention two places. One is in Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, verse 3, that is a psalm of David. Jehovah, in the morning shall I hear my voice. In the morning will I address myself to thee and will look up. And then also Psalm 63. Verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh languishes for thee, in a dry and weary land without water. To me, I feel it is very important if you set the day in the morning in the right way. Now, if you begin the morning with God, then it will be His life that will govern your day. But if you begin your day without God, in other words, without drawing near to Him, and you go out into the world by yourself, no wonder you live by yourself. That makes all the difference. It is true that modern life is not conducive to spiritual life, because you find people today sleep very late. It becomes almost a universal habit. Now, if you sleep very late, you cannot be expected to rise early. You will linger in your bed as long as you can, and then you dash out to the world. Now, if you are living in that way, what wonder that it is you who live and not God, not Christ. The secret is here. If you can rise early, by early I mean there is nothing technical about it. Everyone is different. But you know, that is to say, before you do anything, the first thing, draw near to God. The Bible says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. James 4:8. Very simple. You do it not as a duty, as a religious act. You do it for communion's sake. You want to present yourself before God. You want to have a time with Him. You want to open your heart to Him. You want to give yourself to Him for today. You want to hear from Him. So I would suggest, it doesn't really need lots of time. You know, we can read maybe 3 chapters a day in the Old Testament, 1 chapter a day in the New Testament, to cover the whole Bible once a year. You can do it at other times. It's for reading, for knowing what's in the Word of God. But for communion, it's a different story. So I always feel that, you know, George Müller, he was a German. He got saved. He went to England, studied theology, tried to be a missionary to the Jews. But the Lord met him, and by faith only, he took care of thousands of orphans. And the secret of his life is here. Every morning, he spent some time, little time actually, he will just go to the Lord, open the Word of God, Read just one verse. From those books that are more conducive to meditation, he would just read one verse. And then he meditated before God about that verse. While he was meditating, sometimes he felt he had to confess, repent before God. So he repented before God. Sometimes, as he read, he felt so lifted up by the mercy of God. And he began to thank and praise God. In other words, he opened his heart to the Lord and had a talk with the Lord. And he allowed the Lord to talk to him. Maybe just 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But he came out from the presence of the Lord. Simple. And while he was spending his days, you don't need to be consciously supernatural. Just be spiritually natural. That's it. You come out of the presence of God, and with his presence with you, you go into the world. And you touch different things. And when you are doing these things, by whom? Strangely, when there is something which in the sight of God is not righteous, in the sight of the world it was okay, but in the sight of God it was not righteous, your conscience will tell. And where your conscience tells you, obey. Now, if you do not obey right away, how will you feel? You feel a darkness come upon you. It seems as if there is a distance between you and God. What do? Wait until in the evening, and you gather up all these failures and tell God, no. Ask the Lord to forgive you right away. In other words, keep a clear account with the Lord through the day. If the Lord show you anything from the Word of God, do it. If you're not too sure, wait and seek him. But never a rebellious spirit, nor ignoring it, neglecting it. Keep in touch with the Lord. You do not need to analyze whether it is you who live or the Lord who lives. It is the Lord. Simple. It is living by faith. And as you are doing these things, you will find your life will really be changed. It is not as hard and difficult as you think. It is easy and light because the Lord said, yoke with me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Brothers and sisters, that's the way we live our personal life. Simple. Easy? Yes. Will you not try it? So may the Lord have mercy upon us. The principle is you live your daily life not by yourself, but by Christ. That is the principle. And that principle has to be applied. And when you are applying it, it is not something that you struggle over it. No. It is very simple and childlike. You know, that's the reason why our Lord Jesus said, if you are wise and prudent, it will be kept from you. But if you are childlike, it will be revealed to you. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do praise and thank you because you have made every provision for us to live daily as your child. O Lord, teach us how to be childlike and really depend on you to live instead of struggling with ourselves. May you increase daily, and we decrease for the glory of God. In thy precious name.